In this podcast, I'd like to summarize an article from the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine. This article came out in the spring of 2017. The article is titled Blood Flow Restriction Therapy, Theories, Science, and Current Clinical Results. And you can find this article by typing this title in your browser window. I often use this article as it is by physicians, for physicians, and relates to blood flow restriction. The first thing that we want to talk about is hypertrophy. Hypertrophy is a term that describes the increase in muscle mass or increase in muscle size. So this increase is in mass or size rather than an increase in the number of muscle fibers. So if you think about the last time you had a steak, you might have seen some muscle fibers in that steak. So what hypertrophy is it's when the muscle fibers get larger rather than having an increase in the number of muscle fibers. And hypertrophy happens in specific situations. Hypertrophy occurs when the muscle is stressed. And according to the American College of Sports Medicine, this is when someone lifts over 60% of one repetition maximum. So let's say, as an example, I can bench press 100 pounds once. 60% of one rep maximum would be 60 pounds. One way that I grade 60% one rep max in my physical therapy practice is that I'll tell a patient that I want to adjust the weight so that they are able to complete 8 to 10 lifts, but no more than that. So if they can do more than 10 repetitions, let's say they could do 15 repetitions with really good style, with no movement substitutions, then I would increase the weight until they can do 8 to 10 repetitions only. Lifting 60% one rep max is often not possible or even recommended for the elderly, for those who recently had surgery, or even for athletes recovering from a sport. With blood flow restriction, though, people can have an increase in strength, they can have an increase in hypertrophy by lifting only 15 to 30% one rep maximum. So in doing the math, this means that someone can have similar results to heavy weightlifting by lifting a quarter to a half of the weight normally needed to get stronger. Keep in mind, strengthening with these lighter weights is only possible with blood flow restriction. So this raises the question, what is blood flow restriction? So blood flow restriction, or BFR, uses modified blood pressure cuffs or elastic bands that are placed around the upper arm or thigh with the purpose of reducing the flow of blood into the limb and eliminating the flow of blood out of the limb. So again, what we want to do is put some kind of compressive device, whether a modified blood pressure cuff or an elastic band, around the upper arm or leg. We're going to get it tight enough to where the blood can still flow into the arm or leg just at a lower rate, but not be able to flow out. So then what happens is our muscles use oxygen to make energy. So when blood flow is reduced, the limb begins to use up the oxygen already in the limb. The muscles continue to try to make energy by using oxygen, but since blood is pooling in the limb, that supply of oxygen is getting less and less. With the lower level of oxygen in the blood, the muscles switch to an alternative method for making energy. This is called the anaerobic method. So aerobic means to use oxygen. So normally, without blood flow restriction, muscles are making energy through the aerobic method using oxygen. But when the muscles don't have oxygen or don't have access to oxygen, they use the anaerobic method. When the muscles make energy using the anaerobic method, other byproducts are created at the same time. Most notably is lactate. Lactate has received a lot of attention recently as it's linked to the release of growth hormone. So what happens is when muscles exercise under blood flow restriction, the level of oxygen in the limb goes down and the level of lactate goes up, which leads to an increase in growth hormone. There are other key benefits that we will cover in later podcasts. This change in biochemistry of the body is a significant and fascinating aspect of BFR. The next question is BFR helpful? So one researcher, Abe, had 19 elderly men and women ages 60 to 78 participate in a study in which all walked for 20 minutes, five times a week for 6 weeks. Some used blood flow restriction. Some did not have any compression at all on their legs. And Abe found that those who walked with blood flow restriction, or BFR, had a significant increase in the size of their thighs and scored higher in a functional ability test. So then the next question is, well, what kind of exercises are used with blood flow restriction? And BFR has been studied not only with walking and cycling, but also with weightlifting, with the arms and the legs. And in my practice, it's common to add BFR to most exercises except for running and jumping. Generally, those are shied away from. The next question is, who can benefit from blood flow restriction? So, a couple thoughts. First, those who have recently had an orthopedic surgery. BFR is commonly used after ACL repair. I've used it after knee surgery, including total knee replacement, with great results. Also, folks who are weak, the elderly who are weak, can and often have significant increases in strength with blood flow restriction. I often find in my practice that an older patient who's been weak for years, often BFR is the secret sauce to getting them stronger and walking with better balance. So what about the risks of blood flow restriction? One question that's commonly raised is, what about blood clots? Well, interestingly, BFR has not been shown to increase the risk of blood clots. In fact, according to one research, it might actually reduce the risk of blood clots. Another condition that we worry about is something called rhabdomyolysis. Rhabdomyolysis is when folks work out too much, their muscles get strained and start to tear, and that tearing then floods the kidneys and can shut the kidneys down, and that's called rhabdomyolysis. So the incidence of rhabdo is quite low. One study reported that the incidence was 0.008%. It's notable that BFR appears to be much safer than other popular exercise approaches like CrossFit when it comes to rhabdo. There is a concern that with blood flow restriction, the muscle could become stronger than the tendon, and so that is an area for potential future study. So the final thought for this podcast is that blood flow restriction is one approach of many approaches to exercise. Blood flow restriction should exist in combination with other forms of exercise. So I often couple blood flow restriction with normal weightlifting exercises as well as normal aerobic exercises. Even with my older patients, oftentimes I will have them start out with blood flow restriction, but then once they have their muscles built up and have enough strength, I will transition them to traditional weightlifting and even aerobic exercise. This podcast is sponsored in part by Precision HealthLink. Precision HealthLink is a resource for training in blood flow restriction, as well as education on combining various exercise approaches to improve health for several conditions. Multiple studies have shown that exercise is effective for treating depression, anxiety, and other mental health concerns. Certain kinds of exercise are helpful for various types of cancer and the symptoms associated with cancer treatments. Exercise will modify how our genes are expressed. In fact, in many cases, we know how genes are related to disease, but we do not have a drug addressing the specific DNA or microRNA. That means that specific approaches to exercise are currently the most potent tool we have to address some diseases at the genetic level. At Precision HealthLink, we are driven by the latest research updates in exercise, gene expression, and evidence-based practice. We are a team of therapists and engineers seeking to improve health and enable people, especially the most frail among us, to remain living in the community. Check out our website at precisionhealthlink.com and see when and where we have our upcoming courses.